This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
As babies get older and become toddlers, the possibilities for play begin to open up. Instead of abstract play in short bursts, attention spans and coordination mean longer and more complex play is possible. For families that love to play together, toddlerhood is the perfect time to start playing board games and other more organized games. I'm John O'Reill, dad of three boys, and today we're talking about tips and ideas for family game night. This is Parent Savers.
Faster than a speeding toddler.
Sit still for just a minute.
Can soothe boo-boos with a gentle kiss.
Would you get down from there?
Able to clean poopy bottoms in a single swipe.
Oh, what did you eat?
Turning frazzled mommies and daddies into procreators of peace and harmony.
Ah, quit touching me.
It's Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
Welcome, everybody, to Parent Savers. Were you singing the theme song there?
Yes,
is that what you were doing?
Broadcasting
from the Birth Education Center of San Diego, Parent Savers is your online, on-the-go support group for parents with infants and toddlers. I'm your host, John O'Reill. As I said, we're recording at the Birth Education of San Diego. It happens to be the Miramar Air Show right now, so from time to time you might hear the sound of freedom overhead.
Is that what that is?
Yes.
I thought those were planes interfering.
As the jets screech by. Want to check, have you guys subscribed to the Parent Savers newsletter? It's a great way to learn about new episodes. You can also subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or Stitcher and have new episodes automatically downloaded to your device. You can listen to our shows through the Parent Savers app, available on Android, iOS, and Windows. And we also have a new network app where you can easily listen to all the new Mommy Media podcasts. Easy for me to say. Of course, all our apps are free and you can find direct links on our website at newmommymedia.com. Now, Sunny, our head mommy at New Mommy Media, is going to tell us all about some cool ways that you can become involved with the show.
Okay, so we have a couple of segments I think you guys will like. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk about an app that we really like. And we want to hear from you guys as far as what apps do you guys use with your kiddos. We're kind of looking at the age range between 2 and 5. So if there's some apps that your kiddos just love, tell us about it. We'll talk about it on the show and we'll tell other parents about it. So that's a cool way you can get involved. We have a fun segment that is called Parenting Oops, where we like to share our funny parenting stories with our kiddos. And then you can ask our experts questions too. So it could be an expert from a previous episode, or we've got a whole group of experts on the website that are just waiting for you to ask them questions. That's what they do day in and day out. They just wait for your questions. Forget the regular patients and stuff. They're just listening for you.
Yes.
So anyways, if you want to submit to any of those segments, you can go to our website, to the contact link, and submit via email, or you can post on Facebook. We're always checking that. And another great way, if you want to actually tell your story yourself or ask the question yourself with your own voice, you can call our voicemail, which the number for that is 619-866-4775. And what's great about that is no one's actually going to pick up. That is strictly a voicemail line. So you don't have to deal with any weird, awkward moments. It's just you leaving the message and then we'll play that on a future episode.
Awesome. So many cool ways to connect and not have to really talk to Sunny.
That's right. If you're just like, I just don't want to talk to Sunny. That's a good way to do it.
Great. All right. So today we've got a roundtable discussion. And so it's myself. I'm Johnner. I'm 41. I'm a dad of three boys. We have an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old. And we love playing games together. We do play board games together. We sometimes play video games together as well and also do pretend play and all sorts of stuff. Love playing together. Love having fun with them.
All right. So I'm Sunny, owner of New Mommy Media, and I am 37, I believe. I do have 4 kids of my own. My oldest is 5, a boy, and a 3-year-old boy, and then twin girls who are almost 2. And I have to say, it's really my 5-year-old that spurs the game nights with us. We've tried to kind of instigate it on our own, but really, you know, my husband and I, we like playing games, but you know how life just kind of takes over. And there's so many things, other things that, you know, you think you need to be doing. But it's really our 5-year-old that keeps us grounded and it's always bringing up different games. And we have a game drawer that we pull stuff from. And, you know, I can share later on in the episode about the different things we like to do. But, yeah, I have to give my 5-year-old credit for it. He really keeps us on track.
Nice. And it's hard to say no when they right, say they want to play.
You know, and then he's learning and I'm like, oh, this has developmental
yep.
benefits. So whatever.
Hi, I am Alicia. I am a mom of four. I'm a huge game night fan. Even before I had children, I was always doing game nights with friends. I had the standing Friday night game night at my house for many years because I just am a huge fan of these group games that gets everyone active and involved. My kids right now are 10 and 8. Those are girls. And 6 and 3, that's my boys. And so I'm lucky because they're all at ages that they can play some games, but mm-hmm. they have all been playing games since the second they could.
That's awesome. And I think it should be a great conversation. And, you know, I loved playing games too, even before we had kids. And it's interesting because I still have some games that are kind of on pause that yes. maybe we'll get back to in a few years.
Yes. Oh, I pull those out if the kids have gone to bed and people are over. And you mentioned game drawer. Yeah. Our entire hallway wall closet is all games. And oh it's a goodness. Mix of board games and fun, like big activity games.
That's
so
awesome.
We love it.
That's great.
The NBA playoffs are back. And on FanDuel, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Back in the day, news like this, your crew would have been writing each other letters.
Dearest Benjamin, wonderful news from the East. The spread has been covered.
Or maybe you'd use your phone to actually call someone.
Man, you see that dunk? Man, I saw that dunk.
But these days, it's all about the group chat.
I love that high-fiving kitten emoji.
No matter how you tell them, let your crew know that all new FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Ooh, Morse code. Classic. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus vest that expires 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right. Before we get started with the conversation, we're going to talk about an app. And it's actually a really fun app. It plays right into the theme of our show. The app is called Heads Up Pictures, and it's from Warner Brothers, and it's 99 cents. And you guys may have heard of Heads Up. There actually is a board game, Heads Up, as well, that where you put cards up on the head, and it's got
headbands.
Words on it.
Correct.
Headbands. And Heads Up. So it's the same sort of idea. That's right.
Exactly.
Headbands. And so Heads Up is a little like that, except you use your device. And it Heads Up Pictures, what's really cool about it is it uses pictures, and so it makes it accessible to a lot more people and people that can't read, like toddlers,
yes.
for example, that can recognize pictures but can't necessarily read the words. This game's hilarious. So what happens is we were just playing here in the studio, and we actually will post a video of that as well because that's one of the built-in things. But you put the device on your head, a picture comes up, and then the other people in the room try to get you to guess what's on it, and you can't see it. You get it right. You tilt it forward. If you want to pass, you can put it backwards. But it records the whole time that they're talking to you. And so this is actually a really fun and funny thing, and something that kids love too, because they love seeing themselves on camera.
Exactly. Yeah. They love being recorded. So mm-hmm. this is perfect.
So what did you guys think of it, having played it?
Oh, I loved it. I think it's perfect for kids. Kids see other people playing this game with the words, and mm-hmm. they can't read it, but so they can't be involved. So the fact mm-hmm. that there's now a version that allows them to be involved is
yeah.
so exciting to them.
Yeah.
And anything that's made for them to access it is it makes it even more exciting.
Totally. And then the videos are just icing on the cake. So it's a yeah. it's a 99 cent app, and with that you get like 5 decks. One of them you can customize yourself, go around and take some of your own pictures. But then you do have the option to buy additional decks for 99 cents each. And so I mean it could add up. If you bought all the decks, you'd probably end up spending 10, 15 mm-hmm. bucks. But if you think about it, you'd spend that on a board game.
Yes.
Easily.
Yeah, easily.
You'd be happy to spend that on a board
yes.
game.
Yes.
Ooh, you got a $10 board game. So if you put it in context, it's not that bad. The app economy is so weird. You feel bad that it's 99 cents sometimes for each of those. But it's really a really great deal. And if some of them are topics that you really like, then it's totally worth it. And you can also download one that lets you customize and build your own deck. So that's 99 cents. And then you can go around and with your toddlers, things that they recognize, their toys, maybe their action figures, or things they like to play. Maybe the Octonauts. They're really into the Octonauts.
So we love the Octonauts
yeah,
in
exactly.
our house.
Yeah, exactly. So get like a Barnacles awesome. And a Quasi. And they can name like the Gupex and the Gup D and all the
oh
different.
Oh, wait. We are way too involved.
Right.
I guess I don't know.
Then they're going to get more into the Octonauts. Anyway, just hypothetically speaking, right, about the Octonauts.
Well, and then you take it with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you're waiting in line at the grocery store yep. or the department store, yep. then that's the hardest time for them to stay with you and behave, then they're distracted and they don't even notice the weight.
Yeah. And what I loved about it is my 5-year-old has, he's been going to speech for a few years now. And what I love about this, too, is it kind of forces him to think on his feet, use his own words. And I kind of like the timer, too, because sometimes I'm like, okay, what are you trying to say? Spit it out kind of thing. And I feel like this is actually could be a nice learning tool for him. He recognizes something, then he's got to kind of make it very descriptive, okay, and try to, you know, get other people to guess what the item is. And actually, I think it could really help him with his speech.
Same with spouses, too. Sometimes spouses need to spit out the word.
I wouldn't say that if I were you.
Hypothetically speaking, of course.
Not yours, right?
Yeah, of course not.
Of course not.
Anyway, it's a really cool app. We love it. 99 cents. We'll have a link to it on the website. It's called Heads Up Pictures. Definitely check it out.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back, everybody, to Parent Savers. Today, we're talking about family game night with our roundtable here with me, Sunny, and Alicia. Welcome, everybody, to the conversation.
Thank you.
So what age – you talked about your kids being able to play from the first second that they could, Alicia. Like, what age would you say that they really were able to start playing games with your family?
My oldest probably started around 2. I remember – I think it was for her second birthday. She got one of those memory games. Mm-hmm. Now, I will admit, at that age, I always change the rules. I'm not going to follow the instructions in the box. They can't do that. So yeah. I adapt it to whatever their level is right then. And I remember with that memory game, what we would do is lay all of them out. And, you know, you start by picking 2, and if they don't match, you put them down. Well, you could pick 2, and whichever one, if they didn't match whichever one you wanted, you could leave up and then put the other one down so that you pick 2 more and then hopefully get a match. And so she at least had a chance to get a match because the memory skills, of course, aren't there. But it did build her memory skills for later on, just even adjusting the rules a little bit definitely paid off.
That's awesome. Yeah, memory is such a great early game. And it, I mean, it underscores, and you see it in a lot of things, that these kids are really smart,
like,
even at a very young age. And even if they can't fully communicate and express it, you can really see their brain development, how smart they are in a game like memory, where you see them remembering things and where objects are, even if you're tweaking the rules.
And she used to amaze me. She was into princesses, Disney princesses. So it was all princesses. And there's only, you know, like 6 or whatever that come out on these games. And so they were different positions and stuff. And so she would pick 2 up and I would say, oh, you got 2 Cinderellas. And she'd say, oh, no, this Cinderella is not smiling and this Cinderella is really happy. Like she would notice those little differences between the two to know they didn't match, which was really good.
That is awesome. That's really cool. So as we have started playing games, there's some games that I know that our families really liked. And one of them that's always a hit and continues to be, and it's cool because young kids can play, is Apples to Apples Picture Edition. They have – many of you might be familiar with Apples to Apples, where they have the words written out. And there's the adult spinoffs of certain games that are not kid appropriate for family game night. They have – and it's similar, I think, to the Heads Up game that we talked about, the app, Apples to Apples Pictures. And so the way that game works, I don't know if you've played – but there's a judge that's at the table, and so they have to judge a word like sad or hilarious or smart, and then everyone plays a picture card, and then the judge decides which one fits it. Mm-hmm. So even young kids can look at pictures if you tell them what the word is, and even if they play a crazy card, they still have a chance to win, like the way that the game is set up. But also, when they're the judge, they love having the power. And then you have to remember that they're the judge. And then what's my 2.5-year-old going to think is smart
and
can throw one? And so I think having the older kids has had us expose some of our kids at a younger age to games.
Yes.
But that's been a really big success that we found has been able to work with young kids. Have you seen any more games like that that you guys are playing now?
You know, a lot of the ones that we used were the typical young kid, the Candyland games, where they learn colors.
Colors.
Anything that they are learning something, they get excited about. So.
You know what they have now for Candyland is a spinner. Because the thing with Candyland is you see these freaking cards all over the place with like a double orange or they want to cheat. So they've come up with one that's a spinner now.
Wow,
so
I still have the old school
one. I think the cards.
In fact, I think I've themed ones. You know, like I might have like the Disneyland version or something. Oh. But yeah,
there is tons of dirt. Candyland is great though because it really is teaching some really easy counting.
Right.
But I feel like it also teaches cheating because the kids because they want so bad to just like, you don't go a lot and I'm going to go 3. Maybe it's just my kids, but they go. And so, but you do have this line then where when you're playing with your kids and you talk about bending the rules is how much, because you love them and they're the apple of your eye, do you just be like, yes, sweetheart, you can go 8 oranges now and I'll go 1? Or how much do you enforce the rules on them?
I'm pretty strict on rules, actually. Not necessarily like we were talking about earlier, you know, do you have to go with the rules that came with the game? I'm not a big like stickler on that. Mm-hmm. But whatever the rules are, I feel like if I start, you know, like set some sort of precedence that, oh, you don't need to follow the rules, and that's going to somehow carry with them. And then I'm never going to want to play games with them later down
exactly.
the road.
Right.
I was lucky because my first daughter is a complete rule follower. Like she gets anxiety if she's not doing what she thinks she's supposed to. However, my second daughter is the biggest cheater in the world and the worst sore loser. And so I have one who's like following a rule and one who's like breaking every rule, and trying to keep them working together in a game is very challenging.
Yes. Like that.
But that's one of the skills that the game teaches. And I know for our family, for me, it's more about the playing is having fun. Mm-hmm. But there also are lines of winning and losing that board games can kind of start teaching.
And they have to
and
learn.
And dealing with losing. And they have to. Mm-hmm. The kids have to learn how to accept defeat, that you're not always going to win, but they want to win so bad. And there's been some epic tantrums, I know, in our house from not winning.
Yeah.
My 6-year-old, my son who just turned 6, Battleship is big in our house, and he gets so upset if he is getting all of these, you know, hits on ships, and then someone wins because they sink just his battleship, and he just thinks that's so unfair that you only have to sink one of his.
Wait, is that a rule?
Apparently so. I never knew this recently.
I don't know the game.
Okay, is that a rule that you can just sink the battleship?
From what I learned recently, yes. If you just sink the battleship, then you've won the game.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yes.
I always thought you had to sink the whole fleet.
So did I.
Interesting twist to the game. That would frustrate me, too.
So, yes, he goes crazy because he's like, I'm hitting all of these ships of yours and I'm not winning, and you've got one of mine.
All right. So before we talk about a few more games, let's talk about keys to a successful family game night and what it looks like maybe in your guys' house. Have you guys done it a little bit with Sayer?
Yeah, no, we've done it, and we've tried to incorporate Urban, my 3-year-old, as well, but we have to do it after the babies are in bed.
Step one, get the twins out of the picture.
Get the twins out of the picture. At least until they're older. Yeah, they need to be in bed. But yeah, so, and they're both, you know, Sayer is definitely more interested in games, and Urban is at the age where he just wants to do whatever his brother does. So, but I don't know, what really constitutes for a family game night? I mean, we'll play a couple of games. I don't know if I would consider, like, we don't have a regular day that we do it or anything like that. Yeah. It's more just,
I think it's any time that the whole family is willing to put aside any of the other stupid stuff, that family stuff that they're dealing with, or stupid, like work,
stupid work.
But put aside all these other concerns, put aside volunteering in the classroom or whatever, and say, we're all just going to sit, focus, and enjoy the time with each other and play. And to me, that's what family game night means.
Yeah.
And I don't think it can necessarily be a certain day of the week when you have a family. It's just whenever the opportunity presents itself, it's like, hey, wait, we have a few hours.
Yes.
Let's not watch a movie, which a lot of people do. Let's pull out the games and see what we can get done.
Right.
And I know my kids, even from very small, we had Scrabble Junior, which has one side of the board where the letters are on the board. And so what they do is they find the letters in their little group and they can put it on the board. So they don't have to be able to spell to play Scrabble Junior. You can flip the board and then it's empty. But on the one side, and I just remembered another one that my kids love is called Sequence, which you can play from a very young age because it's all picture-based, and you get – it's kind of like Connect Four, but it's pictures of animals. And as you play your cards, you get to put tokens on those animals, and your strategy is to get – I believe it's like a Connect Four. But and the reason I don't know too much about it is my kids play with it just themselves, which is so nice to have a game that they can do on their own without parent involvement because then it's building – team building for them. And I do know that's a really popular one in our house.
Nice. For us, what'll happen a lot, I mean, the kids will sometimes usually, if they do play it by themselves, then they never pick it up, and then there's lost pieces and stuff like that. But so when we're playing as a family, we like to play at the dining room table, the table where we eat. Everything's nice and clean. Sometimes we'll even, like, do the bedtime routine, like with the take baths or showers and put on pajamas and stuff, get nice and comfy and cozy.
And that's how you bribe them, too. You say, if everybody does their baths really fast, we'll do game night.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And they'll go pretty fast. And then usually it's good. I mean, it'll be after we eat, but full tummies. You know, everyone's either ready for bed but excited to play. And we'll maybe do snacks and stuff, too. Obviously not crazy sugary snacks. But maybe make some popcorn or something like that. And I think each time – and maybe this is a problem, but each time we do play a game, we try to, like, make it like it's a really cool special time as opposed to just doing it on the side. And I can see the benefits of doing both. But for family game night, we really try to make it special.
So do you have specific nights you do it or no, you don't?
No. What we do is we have every Friday night is sort of supposed to be family night. And usually it's like pizza and movie night.
Okay.
But that can change. That can also be pizza and family game night.
Okay.
Sort of option.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes things come up on a Friday night too.
Right.
That's the nature of the
evolving. The
beast. Yes.
Yes.
What other tips do you guys have for like a family game night, like turning off the TV or?
Yes. Well, our TV tends to be off all the time. So
sometimes like Ninjago is just playing in the background.
I remember, turn it off.
Put away the phone for sure.
Oh yeah.
And really just be able to focus on everything for family game night.
I think that's it. And I think I probably tend to do opposite rather than make it a big deal.
Yeah.
I kind of make it like a normal thing. Like, mm-hmm. We want the family time and those kind of times to just kind of be part of life
organic,
rather than. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it's, you know, like I said, if the opportunity arises and we're like, hey, wait a second, we're done with everything.
Yeah.
Let's, like you said, get baths done and then let's play some games. And they're so excited. And it happens so infrequently, with especially large families, when you're everywhere all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It happens so infrequently that it means a lot to them, even if it's not something that we planned and they looked forward to for a few days. So, and for weeks, they'll talk about it. Like, when are we going to do the next game
right.
night? When are we going to do the next game night?
Games with the kids.
Good.
And that's really great. The only thing I struggle with is they pretty much do it every night. And then I'm left with, like, you know, after we do it for a while, then I'm just like, oh, they're totally going to expect this, you know, all the time. And so then I feel like there's that anticipation. And then after my parents leave, I'm like, sorry, guys, I'm going back
right?
to regular life. I always have like this downer, like,
but they're good at keeping things in boxes. And so the problem is every time your parents come, they're going to expect that from them.
Exactly.
Maybe not expect it from you.
But I think that's one of the cool things about games. It's a great way, especially if your grandparents are out of town.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool way to be participating in an activity that everyone's engaging in.
Right.
And you get to see everyone's personalities.
Right.
And especially with out-of-town grandparents.
Yes.
They're different kids every time they come.
It's true.
Yeah.
And so to be able to play games, and it's really cool that they like to play that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good way to be connecting and not just being next to each other and watching a movie, but instead act.
Right.
And I mean, it without fail, every time that we'll play a game together, one of our kids will say something or do something that just cracks us
up. And then it becomes like an inside joke.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's making family traditions and it's great. All right. So let's talk about some more specific games after the break. We'll take a quick break here and then come back and talk about some more recommendations of games that you can play as a family.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and we love our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking about family game night and some cool games and activities to play with your family. So let's talk about some more games that are fun to play. We've got this one game. I think we got it as a present, and I would totally recommend it. And it's called Find the Sock Monkey. Have you guys heard of it?
I have heard of it.
So what it is, it's a game that comes with a tiny sock monkey, kind of stuffy, and the board is the house.
Okay.
The whole house that you're in. So one player goes and hides the sock monkey in any room in the house. And the only rule is it has to be visible. It can't be totally hidden. So if you're going to put it in like a drawer, the drawer would have to be open a little bit. And you can see the sock monkey, right? It's super fun because then when it's your turn, you turn over a card. And it's a question like, is it in a room with a couch? And so you're asking the hider, like, okay, is it a room with a couch? No. Is it a room with a bed? Is it a room with a mirror? Is it a room with a window? And then you start narrowing down where it might be, the yeses and the noes. And then there's a timer of like a minute. So when you have a minute to go find the sock monkey based on what you know. And then the kids are running through the house and trying to find the sock monkey. And then it's a neat game because we like it because it's active and it's playing a game and gets the kids running around the house.
So whoever finds the sock monkey gets to hide it?
Yes, then they're the one that gets to hide it next, and then it goes back, and then there's like the cards and stuff like that. That's a cool game that you can play with. The only trick is the younger kids sometimes need a helper to hide it because they don't remember all the details about the room. Or they might be like, is it a room with a bed? No, silly, it's in the kitchen. Right. But then those are the kind of things you roll with.
Right.
What are some other games that you guys can think of that you like?
We have a game that's called Left, Right, Center. Have you guys heard of this? What I love about it is it's so portable and it's such an easy game to play. And especially if your kids are of the age where you're trying to teach them directional type stuff, it works really well. But it's a dice game. And then it has like those little chips, like if you had like a bingo game or something like that, little round chips that come with it. Ours came in like, well, we have a couple different versions of it. But one came in like a small little rectangle box that's no bigger than like a jewelry box kind of thing. And another one came in like a little tube. Regardless, it's really portable. And so the dice, there's three dice, and on all sides it could have an L, an R, or a C. So for left, right, or center. And so you roll the dice, and everyone starts with three chips in front of them. And you roll the dice, and if it says, you know, if you've got three dice, so if one says left, one says right, one says center, well, then you pass one of your chips to the left, to the person to the left of you, one to the right, and then one goes in the center, kind of like a center pot, okay? And you go around the room and you keep doing this. And the goal is that sooner or later it's going to come to a point where there's tons of chips in the center. Yeah. There's only a couple people that are left, right? And the goal is to be the last one standing with, you know.
The last one with chips.
With chips standing. Mm. And it has taught both my kids to do their directions, like left and right.
That's stuff amazing.
That I still struggle with.
Right.
They're like, Mom, it's to your left. And this is my 5-year-old. I'm like, wait, I write with my right hand. Okay, left. I get it.
That's hilarious.
I still struggle with it, but he loves playing it. So
that's awesome.
They may be gamblers someday, rolling the dice, right. They're going to Vegas.
Give me a hard C.
Hard C. Yeah. But it's fun. They love it.
Nice.
I would say the favorite at our house is Pictionary still, which has been out for, 30, 35 years, something like that. It's one of my favorites, definitely a favorite among my kids. And so what happens with my 3-year-old doesn't get into this so much, but my 6-year-old has been playing it for a while. And what happens is because you're on teams, you're able to have someone who can tell the non-reader what the word is. And we adjust, of course, if it's a word that they can't do. And we have the Pictionary Junior version.
Mm-hmm.
But even so, if it's something that's more than what he can handle, we just, you know, pick a different word on the card or something like that to do. With my 3-year-old is headbands, definitely. He's been playing it since before he was 2. He was probably 1.5 when we got it. All of us get involved. Grandparents get involved. Everybody can play headbands. I swear there must be 50 of those bands in the thing to make it as big as possible. But and again, when it's my youngest's turn, one of the other kids sits with him and gives him ideas of the questions off the question card. And sometimes they go right down it. Sometimes they'll ask him other questions or they'll ask leading questions. Like they'll say, oh, ask them this. And it really pinpoints who his character is. But which is very cool because you have an older sibling helping a younger sibling instead of competing with them.
Right.
And so that we play a lot. And then the other one, my daughter, my oldest, got the Disneyland Monopoly that when you open it up, the castle pops up. It's humongous.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And everything around it is based on Disneyland. And of course, because kids love Disneyland. But we adjust the rules so much on that. Like we pass out all the cards and everything. But the little one, as long as he's rolling the dice and moving his little thing, that's all he cares about. He doesn't care about the money part of it or anything.
Yeah.
So that's his part. Everybody else does the actual money exchanging and things like that. My son that just turned 6 has been handling the money for, I don't know, over 6 months, which is a great tool for him to have. And the little guy just rolls the dice and moves his little thing and then it's someone else's turn. So like I said, I just adjust the rules for whoever's playing.
One of the games that we've been able to play with even like 2-year-olds is Hullabaloo. Have you guys played Hullabaloo? Not the musician, but this is one. There are these portable little mats. There's like red triangles and yellow squares, and they all have like an image on it. Maybe it's like spaghetti or a musical instrument. And there's probably about 15 to 20 of these things that you scatter around whatever room you're playing in. And there's like a speaker deck, and it's like, hello, everybody. And it's like a recorded voice. Time to play Hullabaloo. Everyone stand on a yellow pad. And so there's be 4 yellow pads, and everyone goes. Everyone go to a musical instrument, and you're looking at what the pictures are. It's got the pictures and the words. And then there might be silly things like slither like a snake to a green one.
Oh, my gosh.
And then it'll end up on one of the shapes or the things. And like, all right, is anybody on the guitar? And then if the guitar's like, you win, do a dance. And then it goes into a new one. And it's one of those where they're just verbal instructions. It's a little game after game. And it's a really, really fun game, especially even for young kids.
Sounds like it.
It's called Hullabaloo. That's a fun one. We've also been able to really enjoy playing with young kids a game called Picture Charades. And
yes. I mean,
obviously, but you have to get like a special deck
yes.
or do a lot of preparation. A lot of times you can play charades yourself just writing out words, but kids mm-hmm. can't read and we're probably not that good artists.
Yes.
Maybe you guys are playing.
And Pictionary. The deck's only like a dollar.
Yeah, exactly.
I found so it you can in the dollar bin.
And it's pictures that kids can understand.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that we have has three categories. I think it's an object, an animal, or an action. Now, one of the hilarious things about this is seeing the young kids, even like as young as like the 3-year-old, but even like the 6-year-old or the 8-year-old sometimes does it. Like if the clue is a table, mm-hmm. like they'll just be like,
yes.
okay, ready?
Yes.
Go.
Just look at it.
And they'll just, they'll just,
yes.
they'll like get on the ground and not move.
Yes.
And just be like, do you guys know what I am?
Yes.
You guys know what I am?
And
because
they get so
to
frustrated.
Them, they're being a table.
Yes.
And then like you have to end up sort of like teaching them like, well, what would people do with the
yes.
table? But they're like, I'm a bathtub. Why can't you see I'm just sitting here being a bathtub? Or like an animal, they'll be like sitting there. I'm a frog, you know? But it's super cute. And it's one of those things like you guys are laughing now. Imagine doing it.
Yeah.
It's hilarious and so much fun to play picture charades with kids. And even super young kids can do it. Like they can pretend they're swimming or like flying like a bee. But there's some really funny parts too.
As soon as you mentioned the game, the first thing I thought of was my oldest when she was being a tree, just standing there,
yeah.
like in the tree. But my youngest, my 3-year-old, every card he gets, it's like a dance. Like everything is the same thing. He's like, look, now I'm a tiger dancing around in the same dance. Oh, look, now I'm the television.
But it's so
you just
funny.
Have to be very creative with your guesses.
Yes.
right.
And you can usually narrow them down too. But they get so excited. I mean, and they will wait their turn. Sometimes there will be a little arguing, but they get really excited about it. We've also played Jenga with the kids, even like really young. And obviously the
That's impressive.
Younger ones. But, you know, just the whole idea of just taking something, we can help them put it on the top. Even that can go really, really young. And they think it's hilarious when it falls down.
And even aside from really, really young, it's great. As soon as they're like around 4,
mm-hmm.
it's great for them to have that strategy thinking. And,
yeah.
And it's most games they can't do that. They're too mature for them. And
right.
So Jenga is perfect from a young age.
Yeah. So how do you have any other games you were thinking of, Sunny?
You know, we don't have it on the list, but it kind of goes along, I guess, with puzzle. I don't know, card games. We do card games
oh,
with
cool.
the kids. Yeah. We love Old Maid. I know that's so old school, but like they've come out with some pretty funny Old Maid cards. but that's good for matching, you know, and you know, stuff like that. And then and also trying to work on your kid's poker face because it's just so hysterical when one of my kids gets the Old Maid and is like, oh, man.
right.
I'm like, seriously?
Yeah.
or when he's so just kind of like looking and smiling and you know that he got it anyway. So yeah. And we
Uno's a hit
like
for
that.
Us too.
Uno,
like,
yeah.
Uno's,
oh,
Uno's big
the
in our house.
The weirdest thing about Uno is they have all these weird Uno decks now
yes.
that
yes.
are like
yeah.
somehow we got Batman Uno and you're like, wait, what card is this? Like what's going on? And there's like a different wild card. So we ended up going back to just get like, we just want normal Uno.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
so,
I know.
And especially for like the young kids, I would get that. Maybe the Batman deck or the Superman deck would excite them, but
yeah.
try to play normal Uno because yeah. then it really helps with the colors and the numbers.
Yes. And Uno is so popular at my house, we actually have two put together as one because my kids
thought, did it too.
Yeah, they didn't
oh,
like
yeah.
they're going through. My girls can play that forever, but uh-huh. like you said, card games are
yeah.
really popular. And one thing that I've noticed, the older kids will play the older games, but they get the younger one involved by playing War, and then he's
they
learning.
Love it.
Oh, yeah.
They take out the face cards,
okay.
so he doesn't have to try and figure that out. They leave the aces,
yeah.
but then they're showing him. Like, oh no, see, this has 9, so that's more than this one that has 4.
Mm-hmm.
So he's only 3 years
great.
Old and he's learning
yep.
more
yeah.
versus less, which
yeah.
they did that on their own. I watched them one day and I was like, I'm not getting involved in this. this is what you dream of as a parent.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, War is another good one. So we've talked a lot about board games though and buying things, but there are other games I know that we play and maybe you guys too that don't involve buying board games and stuff like that. And so Family Game Night doesn't have to be about hey, I just spent $10 on this app or $25 on this game. And certainly they're fun. And I mean, if you can hear like the laughter that we're talking about, thinking about playing these games. But there's some other ideas that I'm happy to share. We did this the other night after dinner. And so I would say maybe this doesn't fall in the family game night, but I think if we did it for family game night, the kids would love it. If you give like a thumbs up with one hand and a thumbs down with the other hand, and you kind of put them together and grab the thumbs, it's like you've got like two fists on top of each other, and you don't know whether you're going to give a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And so then we just go around the table and we'll ask questions like, who had a fun day at school today? Or like, who wants to go to Legoland? Like, thumbs up, thumbs down. 1, 2, 3, thumbs up. Or who likes polar bears? Thumbs up or thumbs down? And you go around and everyone gets a turn to ask a question and you keep going. And usually some hilarious stuff's going to happen. And that doesn't cost any money.
I like that. Did you make that up?
We did make that.
That's so cool. We should brand that.
That's right. Yeah. Sorry. This is our first use right here. You're going to steal that idea. Copyright people. Another game that we'll play is like a story game.
Yeah.
And we do it now with just – we'll like go around a table and everyone says like one word. Like if we were going to do it here, I would say like the
– oh, we do sentences. Like,
yeah, you could do sentences. The fish.
Eight.
Some –
Eggs,
exactly. And then you go and right, and then that's another like really fun thing you can do. Go around. You can also do it with sentences, right?
Yeah,
the fish
ate
some eggs.
The kids love that because they try and trick each other. They give them a really random sentence to follow.
Yeah,
and so of course my 3-year old, they'll be on a theme and they'll be talking about fish eating something, and he'll say, the gorilla jumped. So then they have to take it that way. He changed it. But we love that game. It's so fun.
Yeah, it's really fun just to sort of get the imagination going. And then there's the classic I Spy. I think a lot of people done that, especially with their really young kids, is spying something in the room that's a certain color. It's really fun.
And then they change it 12 times because they don't want you to guess.
Like, no, you got to keep the same one.
Yeah. Like you're naming everything black in the room because... And the other thing I've taught my kids is not to look at what they want you to say,
because
they'll look at the picture on the wall and say, I spy something blue while looking right at it. So, of course, the older kid's like, oh, that picture. And the little kid's like, oh.
Right. And then there's puzzles, too. But, I mean, I guess puzzles do cost a little bit of money. But puzzles are another great way to just even connect even with young kids about having them put together the pieces and, finding the line between how much do you want to help them. This is especially, I think, for families that just have younger kids that don't have, like, all of them. But, if you're able to sit around and have puzzles being worked on.
And I think that's a good alternative. If you have time to do game night, consider some of those game nights being puzzle nights instead.
Yeah,
we do
totally.
That. And one rule I have is even for the harder puzzles, the more challenging puzzles for them, I'll never put it together. I'll prompt them as to, what does this look like it goes with? Or if there's a face, let's find the rest of the face and then still let them do it, which I'm pretty much doing it for them without actually putting it together. But them just putting it together makes a big difference.
I think it took about 4 years. So let's say I started doing puzzles with Quinter about when he was 2. By the time he was 6 and I saw him like do the edges first of a puzzle, I was like, finally, like the advice comes through. So for those of you that do puzzles with young kids, like it'll eventually get through. I imagine that's parenting in general. Eventually they're going to hear what you said, but probably not right
Crush
away.
Your fingers.
And probably not show you that they're listening.
Yeah, never admit it. Right. But I have to say charades is an easy one to do without buying anything.
It's true.
We go, if we're out somewhere and we end up having some downtime, then I just whisper, and I don't even play it. I whisper in their ear what they should do, and just them playing among themselves keeps them occupied. Sure. And they love it, especially if you're – the most recent time we did it, I was visiting my aunt who's 99 years old at her home. And so we're sitting in the living room and there's not much to do in a house like that. And so I said, let's do that. And so she had a great time watching them play this, even though, it was a little – active. Mm-hmm. And they had a great time, one, showing her how they play, and two, playing with each other. So you don't have to have a board game there to do anything.
Right.
Yeah, I think family game night can be a lot of things is what we've learned here. It can be a special night, like sometimes we set it up. But even as I was saying it, it doesn't have to even be special. It can be when you guys have the time, find some fun ways to engage. And I think there's a lot of board games. Is there any guys you guys can think of we can throw in here?
Another board game.
Yeah.
Twister is still huge.
Is it really?
Yeah. From oldest down to youngest, they love Twister.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yes.
I don't know if we played that with our kids. I could see that really young kids could do that too.
Oh, yeah, easily. And if they get tired of trying to reach everything, they spin. They love being the spinner. But the kids really love mom and dad on the Twister board with them. That's the main thing about it. Hysterical. You can't just lay it out and make them do it. You have to be involved. You do definitely have to participate and get involved. Yes.
But even if it's not board games, there's also all sorts of fun ideas. And if you can invent your own games too, and whatever works for your family.
Just like you did.
Yeah.
Exactly. With the thumbs up, thumbs down.
The thumbs up, thumbs down game. Exactly.
And for some families, video games are very important. Yeah. Like, it's a big part of their life. And so family game night includes video games.
Yeah. And that's something that I think we're actually going to dig into this in a future episode, but you can play video games together.
Yeah.
There's different kinds. They don't have to be beat 'em up, shoot 'em up, and they make all sorts of different games. But even some games are like a story or an adventure game that you are kind of making choices together and solving puzzles, and you can legitimately play games together and enjoy it. Those are games that we try to seek out too, but that's a whole other.
I have to say, I know lots of moms who would never play a video game. However, when they got the Wii, I think it is, and there's so many interactive games, the sports games, the dance games,
all of a sudden these
moms were spending Friday nights playing with their kids on those things where before the kids would have been playing video games.
And the truth is the kids love it. You're meeting them kind of on their turf.
Yes.
They're the ones. They love that as well. So don't rule that out by any means.
Yeah.
So hopefully you guys got some ideas from this episode. Thank you, Alicia and Sunny, for the conversation. Thanks to everyone that's been listening. For more information about this episode, visit our website at newmommymedia.com. The conversation is going to continue afterwards, though, for members of our Parent Savers Club. After the show, we'll reminisce about games we really liked playing as kids. For more information about the Parent Savers Club, visit the members portion of our website.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Question from our listeners from Twitter. Blair from Canada asks, what do toddlers about 2 years old drink besides milk and water? I'm afraid to get into the realm of juice, but maybe it's not as bad as I think.
Hi, this is Dr. Frederick Johnson calling in. Blair, juices aren't so bad. The problem with juices are generally that they're high in sugar, and kids tend to get too much of them because they're sweet. What might be a reasonable alternative, if you want, is you can make a baby smoothie, which would include things like yogurt, fresh fruit, blend it up and see if your toddler would like that. But otherwise, juice isn't so bad, but you probably only need about 6 to 8 ounces in a day, if that much. So hope that answers all your questions, and I'll talk to everyone later. Bye-bye.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Parent Savers. Don't forget to check out our sister shows, Preggy Pals for Expecting Parents, The Boob Group for Moms Who Breastfeed, and Twin Talks from Parents of Multiples, and our newest show, Newbies. It's going to be weird when that's not the newest show, because it just makes sense. Newbies will always have to be the newest one. But that's for those that are going through it for the first time. Thanks again for listening. This is Parent Savers, empowering new parents.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
How would you like to have your own show on the New Mommy Media Network? We're expanding our lineup and looking for great content. If you're a business or organization interested in learning more about our co-branded podcasts, visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, mamas, don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.